ॐ ज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य जनार्जनसुलकय चक्षुस्मिलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनुविष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले सायमुपकदामायं ददति सहपदन्तिकं पञ्चकौपद्रुभ्यश्च कृपसिन्धुभैव च पतितनां पवनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः Does anyone remember where we left off yesterday? First of all, the easier question. What book were we reading? I'll give you one hint. Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We were hearing about Krishna. Nivrittatashaya bhagiyamanam bhava oshad. We were taking our very tasty medicine that would cure the disease of bhava, birth and death. And we were reading the sixth chapter of the tenth canto in Krishna book about Putana. Now what was the last part? Without looking. Yes, especially in Vrindavan, when the Supreme Lord was personally present. Because Krishna and his name are the same. So when we are in the association of Krishna, it is like the sun being out. Is there a question of darkness? When the sun is shining right in front of us, there can be no darkness. So all difficulties, they're actually, we can look at them as sent by Krishna to push us and pull us towards him. Such a nice philosophy, so difficult to do. Rather, the mind tends to go karab. Pagal, whenever there is difficulty, whenever things don't go the way we want, the mind tends to go somewhat crazy. So therefore we always try to get things to go the way we want, which of course we cannot do because there are over six billion people in this world. It's like the traffic in front of Krishna Balaram Mandir. Everyone is trying to get everyone else to move out of the way so they can do what they want. So the result of that is what? Chaos. So that is the material world. It is chaos. Because everyone is trying to organize the material world as if they themselves were the center. And that is Maya, because we are not the center. We cannot be the center. Even if we think of ourselves as the center, even if we think ourselves the center, no one else will agree. And we will have so much difficulty and we'll be in so much anxiety trying to convince everyone else that we are the center. So a devotee changes that policy. Instead of trying to convince everyone that he is the center, he humbly goes out and tries to convince everyone that Krishna is the center. But to be most effective in that, we have to put Krishna as the center in our life. What does it mean to put Krishna as the center of your life? What does that mean? Well, just raise your hands, please. Okay, since you raised your hand first.
Everything we do,
Yes, we can say Krishna because Krishna means because Krishna includes those who are dear to him. And of course when we think of Guru, Guru means he never says surrender to me, he says surrender to Krishna, because that is his business, to tell others to surrender to Krishna. Mara agyai guru hai tare desh. That's all our business is. Almost ready to read, don't worry. But one time, I was in the Philippines. Raise your hand if you've ever been in the Philippines. I'm the only person who's been in the Philippines. No. Huh? Dinanan Prabhu, yes, he's definitely been there. But I was there, but not only was I there, and not only were there so many Filipinos there, but Prabhupada was also there. So we were in, and Prabhupada was staying in a hotel, and the hotel was named the Manila Intercontinental Hotel. And Prabhupada was just about to give the lecture. It was a few minutes before he was going to give the lecture in a big hall that was quite full of different people. And Prabhupada, I was there with Jagatrini Mataji, and Prabhupada, he said, it is my mission. Now listen to this carefully. He said, it is my desire that everyone in the universe becomes Krishna conscious. Everyone in the universe becomes Krishna conscious. Please help me with this desire. So, that is such a big desire. Do you think that you can find something to do in that desire to help Prabhupada? Some little corner of the universe that you can say, oh, I will offer this to Prabhupada. I will try to fulfill Prabhupada's desire in this way. And it can be according to who we are, what our capacity is. It may be just sweeping the temple of Krishna Balaram Mandir so that when people come in, they will see, oh, they will see Radha and Krishna Balaram, Radha Shamasunda, Gonatai, and they won't see so many, they'll just see the deities, they'll see our lords. Or we could become a big preacher, or doesn't make any difference. Just find something to do in that great desire of Prabhupada to make everyone in the universe Krishna conscious. Just find something you can do and make as an offering. Has anyone ever been in the Philippines in this room? Raise your hand. Oh, okay, there it is. Finally. We were waiting for you. We just had some Filipino kata. It was wonderful. Okay, now we will actually read. So, it is true, because Nanda Maharaj, the point was that Nanda Maharaj, when he thought that there may be some difficulty in Braja, he immediately took shelter of Krishna. He immediately took shelter of Krishna. And that will come later, actually. So, there actually can be no inauspiciousness in Braja. That was the point there. Even though the black witch demon Putana had come, sent by Kamsa, nothing inauspicious can actually happen in Braja, because the names of Krishna are always being chanted there. Therefore, Nanda Maharaj was fearing, and therefore the doubts of Nanda Maharaj were certainly based on affection for Krishna. Actually, there was no danger from the activities of Putana, despite her power. Despite how powerful she was, despite anyone's power, compared to Krishna, no one is powerful. Everyone in this world, every conditioned soul, is actually simply insignificant. Someone may appear powerful for some time, but no one in this world is actually powerful. Everyone is insignificant. What does insignificant mean? What does insignificant mean, huh? Yes, basically, another equally as difficult word, inconsequential, insignificant. Like some little ant, Pipra? Is that in, it depends what language. I think Bengali is, yeah. Chitti, yes. Some little ant walking along, and then we just flick him because he's insignificant. And if he's there or not there, in 100 years from now, or even 50 years from now, or 70 years from now, or 100 years from now, probably no one will even know that we ever existed. That is insignificant, but yet inconsequential. But yet, something or someone who's so insignificant can become extremely significant by the process of surrender and service to Krishna. Because we can, because in our service, if we try to fulfill that desire of Prabhupada's to help others be Krishna conscious, if we actually help someone, then that help is eternal. It is not inconsequential. It will last forever. We can actually do something of consequence, of value, if we help others connect to their eternal relationship with Krishna. So that's how the insignificant can become significant. So there was no dangers from the activity of Putana, despite her power, because regardless of how powerful she was, her power was insignificant. Such witches are called Khichdi. How do you say in Hindi? Something like same. Bangla? And what is breakfast called? Khichdi. There's something different. Okay. So, which means that they can fly in the sky. That means they have some power. This black art of witchcraft is still practiced by some women in the remote northwestern side of India. I don't know. But I know there are lots of tantrics. They can transfer themselves from one place to another on the branch of an uprooted tree. Well, it saves so much airfare. Very practical. Putana knew this witchcraft, and therefore she is described in the Bhagavatam as Khichdi. Now, Putana entered the county of Gokul, the residential quarters of Nanda Maharaj, without permission. She did not ask anyone. She was a demon. She was a Rakshasi. She was sent by Kamsa. Her mission was to kill children. Now, it describes, Srila Jiva Goswami describes, her actual form was huge. She was a demoness with huge teeth that were practically, just like we can take some rice with our hand. She could eat children like grains of rice. She was so powerful and horrible. And her hair was all matted. What is that called? Jata. It was matted. And her lips were huge. She was horrible and insignificant but powerful. And without any permission, she entered Gokul despite her being an outsider and despite Nanda Maharaj being in control of Gokul as the Maharaj. Now, she actually had a fear, because Nanda Maharaj had many protectors of Gokul, and they had astras, they had weapons, Narayan astras, because Nanda Maharaj was a great devotee of Lord Narayan. So she feared the archers, the bowmen, who could fire the arrows of Lord Narayan and kill her. So, rather than being in her actual form that was horrible and powerful, she took the form of the most beautiful of women. The most beautiful of women. And being so beautiful, she walked right into the land of Gokul. And no one stopped her. No one stopped her. She dressing herself like a beautiful woman. She even entered the house of Mother Yashoda. She appeared very beautiful. She had raised hips, nicely swollen breasts, earrings and flowers in her hair, perfectly decorated. She looked especially beautiful on account of her thin waist. She was glancing at everyone with her eyes, with very attractive looks, and smiling at everyone. And all the residents of Vrindavan were captured by this Khichdi. That means... Khichdi or Khichdi? How do you say it again? Did I say it right or wrong? Everyone in Vrindavan, of course, loves Khichdi, but that's different. I've met so many people years ago who used to come, when they would come from Delhi, and then you'd talk to them, and they'd talk about the Khichdi for breakfast in Krishna Balaram Mandir, how wonderful it is. But that's different than what we are talking about. The innocent cowherd women thought that she was the goddess of fortune, appearing in Vrindavan with a lotus flower in her hand. It seemed to them that she had personally come to see Krishna. Everyone was fooled by her. She walked into the house of Yashoda. Where was this? Where is the house of Yashoda? Gokul. I wanted to see if someone would say Nandagaon. Just tried to trick. And Yashoda, Srila Jiva Goswami describes, was with Rohini Devi at that time. And Krishna was on the bed. Just so small, so delicate, so beautiful, whose complexion was sham. So beautiful. No teeth yet. So beautiful. Because of her exquisite beauty, that means, exquisite means exceptional, so wonderful, how brilliant was her beauty. No one checked her movements. She freely entered the house of Nanda Maharaj. Putana, the killer of many, many children. She had killed many children before. She found baby Krishna lying on a small bed. And she could at once understand that this baby was hiding his power, his shakti. And his power was unequaled by anyone. And she thought, this child is so powerful that he could immediately destroy the whole universe. It's true. He could create not only one universe, but countless universes. He has achintya shakti, sad aishwarya puna. Think of what it means to have unlimited power. Think of what it means to have unlimited beauty, unlimited knowledge, wealth, strength, fame and renunciation. Just think of what unlimited power means. For Krishna to create a universe is nothing. It doesn't take more than the slightest part of his power. For Krishna to create 10 universes, and think of how big a universe is. It's inconceivably big to us. So one universe, 10 universes, 1,000 universes, for Krishna to expand that from his body is nothing. It doesn't take any of his energy. 1,000 universes, 1,000,000 universes, 10,000,000 universes, 100,000,000 universes. He could expand those universes from his body and he would not get the slightest bit less in power. Unlimitedly powerful. Unlimited universes could come from his body. Spiritual worlds, Vaikuntha planets, Sri Vrindavan, unlimited living entities. All mama angsa teja sambhava in the material world. Everything rests on him, and his power doesn't get the slightest bit smaller, not the slightest bit smaller. This is God, this is Parameshwara, this is Krishna. And yet, Krishna is lying in a small bed as a small baby, and yet his power is fully there. Once Krishna yawned, this is in the next chapter, at the end of the next chapter, the end of the seventh chapter, after Krishna kills Trinavarta, he yawns. And Mother Yasoda sees the universes in his mouth and herself in the mouth of Krishna, and Krishna there. Krishna is inconceivable. We know that he is in every atom. Every atom, Parama Anu. You like Parama Anu or Parama Anna? Huh? Which one do you like? Parama Anna or Parama Anu? So, Krishna is in every atom and between every atom, and he's completely there with unlimited power. This is what we mean by Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Bhagavan Sri Krishna. So powerful, unlimitedly powerful. And there he was, lying on the bed as a small child. Angani yasya sakalen vittimanti. So Putana, by the mercy of Yogamaya, could understand that this boy, and actually her entry was allowed in by Yogamaya, because she cannot actually enter in with no permission. She did not ask permission, but she was let in. Now, she thought, this child is so powerful, he can destroy the whole universe immediately. But she didn't have any idea of how powerful Krishna was. She was thinking, this child is so powerful he could destroy the universe. But that's not how powerful Krishna is. He could destroy unlimited universes and create unlimited universes and destroy them and create them and expand unlimited Mahavishnus from his body. Unlimited. Unlimitedly powerful and unlimitedly beautiful. How beautiful is unlimitedly beautiful? And if one becomes attracted to the unlimited beauty of Krishna, what in this world will compare to that beauty? When we look at the deities, they actually have unlimited beauty because they are Krishna or Balaram. They have unlimited beauty. But do we see unlimited beauty? If we might, but we may not. Why wouldn't we? It's because, practically speaking, our spiritual eyes are closed and we are fast asleep. So Krishna is there, but due to the Maya Javani Kachanam, because of the curtain of Maya, our eyes have been blocked from Krishna. So that is actually sad. But if Krishna wants, he can show us his beauty. And this is his divine grace. So a question arises. So my eyes are closed, or the curtain of Maya is in front of me, and I cannot see. Is there anything I can do so that my eyes will open, so that Krishna will be inclined to show me who he is, even though I'm insignificant? Is there anything I can do to make Krishna inclined to me? Inclined to me means attract Krishna's causeless mercy to come upon me. Is there anything I can do? This is how a devotee meditates and thinks. How can I please Krishna? If I don't please Krishna, if Krishna doesn't be inclined, if he's not inclined to show me his mercy, what hope do I have? I cannot see anything with my blind eyes. I cannot do anything with my insignificant body. But if Krishna is merciful to me, then like Prabhupada did so much for the world. He could see so much. Arjuna in the battle of Kurukshetra killed millions, empowered by Krishna. So this is a devotee thinks, what can I do that will please Krishna? What can I do? This is his meditation. Usually we think, what can I do to please me? And the more I think about pleasing me, the more miserable I become. This is ahankara vimudatma. The more bewildered I am, the more I think about pleasing me, the more I think about pleasing Krishna, the more enlightened I become, and the more Krishna is inclined if we are sincere. So Putana had approached Krishna, but not sincerely at all. She had disguised herself as someone wishing to serve Krishna, but her consciousness was not at all in a serving mood. In fact, she actually wanted to kill Krishna, but she was disguised as someone who was trying to please Krishna. Disguised. Her outside was one thing, but her inside was something the opposite. What do you think about that? What do you think about that? Her outside was as if she was trying to please Krishna, but her inside was something quite opposite. What do you think about that? Huh? Huh? Don't say like us. You could say like Burijan. That would be accurate. But you'd be too shy to say that. These are very embarrassing pastimes, actually. But Prabhupada comments, this child is so powerful that he can destroy the whole universe immediately. Prabhupada continues. Putana's understanding is very significant. Significant means important. Insignificant means not important at all. But Putin's understanding is significant. Very significant, Prabhupada says. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, is situated in everyone's heart. It is stated in the Bhagavad Gita that he gives one the intelligence and he causes one to forget. What verse in the Bhagavad Gita? Yes, mata smitim jnanam apovanam cha vedesh cha svaraha vidyo. So Krishna allows us to remember, he allows us to forget. Now what do you think when you hear that? That if Krishna blesses us, we can always remember him and never forget him. Now that is a good blessing to ask for. But not like Kamsa. That's not a good blessing to ask for, because Kamsa is pretty cool, even though he was always thinking of Krishna. But to think of Krishna, how can I serve you, Krishna? How can I please you? What can I do that you will be pleased? To constantly think like that, to always think like that, like a devotee. This is a blessing. This is a blessing. So he also causes one to forget. Prabhupada said this is an important understanding. Putin was immediately aware that the child whom she was observing in the house of Nanda Maharaj was the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. He was lying there as a small baby, but that does not mean he was less powerful. The materialistic theory that God worship is anthropomorphic is not correct. Anthropomorphic means it's imagined, that we imagine God to be like us. No living being can become God by undergoing meditation or austerities. There are so many in India, of course, because this is one of the greatest exports of India to the world. Different systems that people can become God. In the West, so many people, they call it Sahaj Yoga. You can become God. And they call it Sahaj. It's easy to become God. And Prabhupada would say, you Westerners are so easily cheated. So many different people. I am God. You can become God. They say there are no teachings and no teachers. Did you ever hear that one? There are no teachings and no very popular in the West, because it is just forgetting the illusion. So we don't need to learn anything to become God. We just have to forget thinking that we're not God. What do you think about that? Total puggle, huh? Because of course, how could we forget that we're not God? That means that God, how did God forget? Not possible. Not a good philosophy. Not a practical philosophy. But yet, Krishna is all-powerful even when he is just lying on that bed. God is always God. Krishna as a baby is as complete as he is as a full-fledged youth, as a youth. The Mayavadi theory holds that the living entity was formerly God, but has now become overwhelmed by the influence of Maya. That's the Mayavad philosophy. Therefore, they say that presently the living entity is not God. But when the influence of Maya is taken away, then he again becomes God. This theory cannot be applied to the tiny, minute living entities. The living entities are minute parts and parcels of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now why does Prabhupada generally he says that the living entities are parts and parcels. He doesn't usually just say parts of God, but parts and parcels. Now, why does he say parts and parcels? Why doesn't he save two words and say just parts of God? We are all part of God. But why does he say parts and parcels? What is the significance? What is the addition of the term parcel? What does the term parcel signify? Yeah. Part, you could be part, but a parcel is a unit. It is a unit, an individual unit. So we are part of God, but we are also parcels. We are units. We are jivas. We are individuals. Mama, Eva, Angsa, Jiva Loke, Jiva Bhuta. We are eternally. This is what we eternally are. We are parts and parcels of Krishna, little units of spiritual energy. Tiny, tiny, but yet spiritual energy and powerful. And the unit, the sun ray, is part of the sun, and it is a parcel of the sun, part and parcel, but it is not equal to the sun. But when that jiva becomes connected to the Supreme, he is in his natural and rightful position. Mayavadis say that we become, when the illusion is removed, we become the Supreme Lord. And amazingly enough, although it attracts, that philosophy attracts so many people. Another, did you ever hear this one? Be still and know that you are God. Yes, you like that one? Be peaceful and know you are God. It means if I'm not peaceful, I won't be God, and if I am peaceful, I will be God. It doesn't make very much sense. But when the tiny soul connects to that all-powerful Supreme, he is in his natural rightful position and becomes then happy. And the connection is what? Between us and Krishna, what is it? But not only service. Yeah, it's not only love, but loving service. Devotional service. Prabhupada always would translate bhakti not as devotion, but devotional service. And not just service either. It's devotional service. And it is so important to keep this in mind, that our service is an opportunity for us to express devotion to Krishna, to make an offering. And Krishna will take that offering. Asnami paratapmana. He will accept it. He will take that offering, bhakti paritam, if it is offered with bhakti. Whatever that service is, his taste is for bhakti of the living entity, the devotion. And that is expressed through service. It has to be through service. So Prabhupada, any time there's an opportunity, he will always criticize Mayavad philosophy. Nivasesha, Sanyavadi, Pashkatya, Desati. Of course, all the Mayavad philosophy is in the West. There's none in India. But oh, how this Prabhupada said this Mayavad philosophy has ruined the world, practically. The living entities are minute. Minute means small, insignificant. Parts and parcels, units, of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They are minute particles or sparks of the original fire. So these sparks can be covered by the influence of Maya. But the original fire, Krishna, cannot be covered. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of the Godhead. even from the beginning of his appearance in the house of Vasudeva and Devaki. So tomorrow we shall start hearing about what happened when Putana approached Krishna. And it's quite interesting. Srila Jiva Goswami describes some very interesting things that she said. Because there was Yasoda, there was Rohini Devi, and there was Putana. She was in the house. She was right in front of Krishna. She wanted to kill Krishna. But how would she be able to take this child and take him to her poisoned breast? She had with Yasoda present and Rohini present. So we will hear that tomorrow, Krishna willing. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Sri Krishna ki jai. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Krishna book ki jai.